Well, we're going to see and hear more of them, especially as we get closer to the 2020 presidential election. Polls, mainly phone surveys of likely voters in Virginia. We've been getting some feedback on our Facebook page about these polls being skewed or questioning where the survey respondents come from. So we asked Dr. Harry Wilson with Rollo College's Institute for Policy and Opinion Research to join WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me for a few minutes live on the phone this morning to talk about political polls. Dr. Wilson, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Yes, we appreciate you being able to call us here this morning. Now, first off, Harry, describe what the Institute for Policy and Opinion Research is and who's involved.
Well, Institute for Policy and Opinion Research has actually been at Rono College for several decades now. We changed the name about a decade ago when we expanded and expanded what used to be referred to as the Center for Community Research and became much more involved in statewide polling and in telephone polling. But it's essentially myself. I'm the director, Dr. David Taylor, who's the chair of our math department, associate director, and we have Dr. Alice Kassens, professor of economics, who does the consumer sentiment and real estate indexes for us. And also, obviously, then we have interviewers as well, survey supervisors and interviewers and people who do actually make the phone calls.
Good morning, Harry. This is Gene. Good. Thanks for joining us. You know, let's get right to it. The most common remark, Harry, we get from listeners recently when we post stories on the WFIR Facebook page, this poll about state elections or gun control or about the presidential race or Donald Trump, we get that they're biased. Well, they must have talked to those liberal Northern Virginia voters. What can you tell us about the Institute's methodology that helps spread survey respondents out across the state evenly? What can you tell and reassure listeners that every attempt is made to really distribute where the respondents are coming from?
Well, Gene, there's a couple different ways you can do this, and the way we do it is, and the way we've done it for many, many years, is by employing quotas, that we make certain that we call a certain number of people from each of the regions in Virginia. We can't guarantee specific counties, but we call a certain number of people from Southwest Virginia, from Southside, from Northern Virginia, Central Virginia, and Richmond. We do that for every poll, and we make sure that we call the same number or within a few people in that same region for each poll so that we get the same representation every time out.
Okay. Are you calling likely voters? And if so, because I've seen that annotated in certain polls, I'm not sure they're in yours, but are you calling likely voters? And if so, how do you determine that?
It varies. That's an excellent question. And it varies from poll to poll. As we get closer and closer to the election, we will then be calling what we define as likely voters. And those would come from a registered voter list and for which we have phone numbers. And we would call those people, and then we ask them their likelihood of voting. Some other institutes, some other call centers do it differently, and they can have a more elaborate, frankly, specification for how you define a likely voter, and there's a lot of discussion in the literature and in the profession about exactly how you do that. We use a relatively simple method on that, but it seems to be as effective as any of the other methods. Now, sometimes this poll we just released, that was a general population survey, although the part that I did, we pulled out people who said they were registered voters.
General population meaning what? They don't necessarily have to be voters?
Correct.
Okay.
What I pulled out for the release that we're talking about here, that was people who said they were registered voters.
Okay.
But it's going to vary slightly from time to time, but as we do more specific election surveys and get close to elections, then that sample does come from a registered voter list.
Okay, we're talking with Dr. Harry Wilson with Roanoke College's Institute for Policy and Opinion Research, trying to drill down a little bit on methodology for polls. I wanted to ask you, you know, we also report on Wasson Center polls and Quinnipiac political polls. In general, do pollsters use sort of the same methodology to help spread out where their, you know, survey respondents are coming from so they're not all stacked in one part of the country or part of a state?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are different methods of doing it. Sometimes people use statistical weighting for that, and we use weighting for some other variables, for gender, for example, and we use weighting to balance out race. But for the regional composition, we actually use quotas. I think that's probably frankly, less common. I think most people probably use the statistical weighting, but we've used quotas largely because that was sort of my decision, because I didn't really want to use a weighting process for region, because we know, for example, our response rate is better in this part of the state than it is in Northern Virginia. So we would have ended up with some weights that I was a little concerned with. It might be problematic, and I thought it was a better decision for us to go with quotas.
How do you determine the weighting process? I mean, is it some kind of a number you put on, or the factor or something?
Weighting comes into it because you never get the exact proportion of people who you want to get or who reflect the population. So older people are more likely to answer surveys than younger people, for example. So what happens at the end of this is it's a statistical process, a program that I think pretty much everyone does this, in which some people, frankly, count for more than other people. If you're in a demographic category that is less likely to respond to surveys, then your response, in a sense, gets weighted up, and you count for more than one person. If you're in a category where a lot of people answer the questions and more than what we need, then, in fact, you count, in a sense, for less than one person. And this is very common. Everyone in polling does the statistical weighting.
Before I throw it back to Joey, I want to ask you one other question, Harry. I noticed that on this recent survey, which was about President Trump, the direction of the country, Governor Northam, and gun control, that 38% of the respondents were from cell phones. The rest, I guess, were from landlines. When you do that, is the poll, does it tend to skew towards older respondents? And is that going to, does that cloud the issue or affect the responses at all?
Cell phones have been problematic for the industry for a while, frankly, and we're getting better at it, and everybody is increasing the percentage of cell phones, cell phone-only people that they include in their surveys. And what we do know, although this is beginning to balance out, but it's certainly in the beginning, cell phones skewed certainly younger. And response rates for cell phones is a little bit lower than it is for landlines. Part of that's probably the age factor in there, that the landlines are more likely to be owned by older people, and they're more likely to respond. I mean, we don't wait for cell phones, so we do cell phones essentially by quota also. And we make sure that we get an appropriate number, or what we hope is an appropriate number of cell phones in there as well.
All right, it's 8:53 at WFIR, joined this morning by Dr. Harry Wilson with Roanoke College's Institute for Policy and Opinion Research. Dr. Wilson, are polls looked at more skeptically, you think, since the 2016 presidential election, when so many had Democrat Hillary Clinton leading up to election night, especially when the man who beat Hillary Clinton is telling followers not to believe the polls? Your thoughts?
Well, I think people are skeptical of polls, and this happens from folks on both sides. We hear from people after we release the poll and sometimes question the methodology or whatever, and it's largely because they don't think it reflects their point of view, or it doesn't reflect the point of view of the people that they know, and that's really relatively common. I mean, people need to keep in mind that a survey is never a prediction. A survey is really what we refer to in the industry as a snapshot in time, and that there's always the margin of error associated with surveys. So if we say 60% of the people in the country like chocolate, it's not really 60%. We're saying 60% plus or minus 3 or 4%. And then there's actually still a confidence interval after that. Best way I can do this in 15 seconds or less is say, get people to think about flipping a coin. If you flip a coin 1,000 times, you should get 500 heads, 500 tails. But actually, you probably won't get that. You could get 510 or 520, or you could even get 700 of one or the other, and you don't know that. So even when we've done everything correctly, there's still a chance that the actual figure, which is really unknowable, is outside of that margin of error. Never saying it is exactly this number. No one in the polling industry would say that.
Interesting. I wanted to ask you a question, Harry, going back to the August 26th poll. It showed that just 27% of Virginians approve of Donald Trump's job as president. 61% think the country's headed in the wrong direction. The approval rate for the president was actually down 11% since February, and nearly two-thirds said they almost never or never agree with his language and tone. But isn't Virginia more split sort of down the middle on supporters, percentages for Trump, or is it become that skewed?
It's his approval rating has never been as high as other presidents. This was the lowest that we have seen it, and it was a big drop from February. But again, with the margin of error, it really may not have been quite as big a drop. But you know, we have to bear in mind, listeners in this part of the state think, well, certainly President Trump is much more popular. But when the bulk of the population is in Northern Virginia or Tidewater or Central Virginia, he's not nearly as popular there. And when those folks get added in, it's not that those are the only people we're calling, but proportionately, more people live there than live in this part of the state. And certainly we've seen Virginia trending more towards Democrats in most elections for the past decade or more. So it's not really shocking to me.
And people, I guess, again, to reiterate, have to understand that you're not focusing on Northern Virginia, but that's where the bulk of the population is at this point. So you're going to tend to get people who think maybe one way or the other.
Sure. I mean, we're getting about 30%, and this is, again, within a couple percentage points, but we're usually getting 30% of our respondents from Northern Virginia, which how we define the region is where the population is, and about 12% from Southwestern Virginia. But that's because there's about three times as many people living in Northern Virginia as there are living in this part of the state.
I just have about a minute or so left, Harry. I wanted to ask you again, we're talking with Dr. Harry Wilson, Roanoke College's Institute for Policy and Opinion Research. When you look back at your poll, say, over the last 10 years on political issues especially, how accurate have they been? I mean, even this far out from an election cycle, whether it's a state, legislative run or a presidential run, how accurate are polls this far out?
Oh, this far out, polls are I mean, I would suggest that they are accurate for now, but so much can change between now and November statewide, November 2019, or certainly November of 2020, that it's an accuracy for now. It's not predicting anything for 2020 or even for 2019. In terms of issues, one thing we've really seen over the decade is that issues remain pretty consistent. We've asked questions, gun control, we've seen some shift, immigration has been very consistent. Questions, we don't often poll on abortion, but those questions remain pretty consistent in terms of people in one side or people on the other side or whatever. And that suggests to me, again, that we're probably doing things correctly because I wouldn't expect to see major shifts on people's attitudes on those very important issues.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to stay pretty much the same if you look at that over time. And you can track a lot of that stuff on our website as well, and you can see that.
All right, Dr. Harry Wilson, we're going to have to leave it there. Roanoke College talking about polls. And Harry, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.